Bring you Christian greetings this morning. It's good to be here this morning. This morning as I was, or maybe it was last week while I was thinking of this, I was thinking of, I'd like to, some days I wake up and I would like to be able to talk to my father. I'd just like to have a conversation with him again. I know he's been going these 3 years, but I would just enjoy a talk of things that he would know about, and but there is there to me that there's a bigger longing. Particularly last few weeks, I was just thinking how I long to be able to talk and be talked to by the Lord. And I was just thinking of that. I came across the phrase, and I'm going to name my sermon according to this: conversation with God. Conversations with God. Let's turn to Samuel 3 as a guide to this lesson. Here we have the example of the child Samuel and the conversation that he had with God, and the conversation that we can have with God, perhaps, or it gives us lessons into that. I'm going to start reading in first verse of this chapter here. Chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And I should mention to you that actually is that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And there was no frequent visions. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And Aaron the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I. For thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood. Notice that it says he stood. He didn't say that earlier. And called him as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifices nor offerings forever. And Samuel lay until morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. I'm going to stop right there at this point. When we think of a conversation, I'm going to go out on the limb here a little bit before I go into expositing scripture. But when we think of a conversation, we think of a person talking while the other listens, and then there's a response from the other side. But a conversation doesn't need to be in a spoken language. It can be by text message, email, chat line. Fact is, my phone says on it, sometimes it says, Do you want to clear all conversation? Well, a lot of times I do. in the past, you know, and so conversation can be written, can be various ways of communicating. It can be, in past years, it was by mail often that you did long distance conversation. And it might take a while before you get a letter back and respond. In fact, is for people who had relatives or friends overseas, it could take months before people received. I read recently that when the time of somebody was writing a letter over there, I can't remember the story anymore, so I better leave that one go. But the time that he received the letter back was months before he received it, and long distance romance like that sure took the time to do, but often it was done. However, when we think of a conversation with God, we have to be prepared in a different way and to deal with a high and a holy God. Isaiah says, high and holy and lifted up. So although God speaks, he rarely speaks in an audible voice. But symbolically, he does speak. And I'd like to just go to different ways that the Lord speaks to us, first of all. The way most of us think that the Lord speaks to us is through the Word of God. And he chose the written Word in this dispensation to talk to us generally. It is actually an ageless, relevant for every age and every day today, the Word of God as it's written in the Scripture. And God speaks as he did to you, hopefully, this morning. As I was reading this, God was speaking. That's what God wanted you to hear. He wants you to hear what happened back here. So God is speaking this way. And it's new every morning to those who are interested in it. Now, when we listen to God as he speaks to us, we're not just saying listening only. We're talking about the seeing God or the tasting or the feeling of him, knowing God. These are the things we're talking about. But God speaks that way to us. That's one way that we receive a conversation. But there's another way that God speaks to us in a conversation with him, and that is through his creation. In Psalms 19, it talks about that. It says here in Psalms 19 that day unto day, the handiwork of God uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. It talks about how that this is how we receive the voice of God speaking to us in this way. And also in Romans, I think it says that for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Somebody read this recently. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. We've got to see God speaking through his creation. We've got to see what's taking place. To me, it's a sad deal that the evolutionists have closed their ears completely and their eyes too to the clear, dramatic speech from God as he speaks to them. Almost every day, God speaks to me. I'm sure he does to you too. Just simple things. I was driving home a few days ago, and at the bottom of the ravine before I get to my place, there was this little fawn at the bottom, standing right there. And I slowed down so it could get out of the way, and it tried to go up the hill, and it was tremendously scared. It made this bah noise as it tried to go up the hill. And I was thinking of his mother in the woods. Anyway, it just struck me. God made this instinct. He did all of these things. There is God. I had to think of it. You know, the mother's going to find, my wife had seen one of the fawns, and she said, the poor thing is going to run away, and mom won't be able to find him. Then we were talking, yeah, they don't smell, and so how does the mother find them? But they do. They find them, even in spite of the fact that they can't smell generally can't smell very much of the fawn. And just other examples. I heard back a month or two, several months ago when spring came, I walked out the front door, and it was the frost wasn't even out of the ground. And here these little crocuses were pushing up through the ground. They were determined they were going to come out of this frozen ground. And I had to smile to myself, but I had to think of God. I had to think of what he did. I have to think of so many things when I see these things through creation. The songwriter said he sees him in a baby's smile. He sees him in the wind that sighs. How true that is. I see God at those times too. And I have to stop. When I see these things, I have to stop and just thank the Lord. I tell him, Lord, that's so wonderful that you can speak like this, and I thank him. But you know, he also speaks in different ways, in a negative way. He speaks through disasters, some disasters. I'm not suggesting everyone, through famine, through storms. And now I have to wonder about this big storm in the east and the terrible temperatures that people are experiencing. I don't know the answer to this. We often don't know. But we can tell that God is speaking when there is a difference in the way that things happen. God is somewhere speaking. How exactly, I don't know. There's diseases. Many people believe that for instance, HIV came about because of the wickedness of man, because it only popped up in the last few centuries, or excuse me, decades. So God speaks in those ways. That's the second way. But there's a third way that God speaks, and it's through fellow man. It's men of God that God speaks through him. You know, of course, we can't speak accurately. I can't speak the word of God from here that is anything brand new other than the first two ways that I mentioned. But nevertheless, I can teach, and preachers and teachers and men of God can explain in new ways the contemporary applications for us today in a new way. So God is speaking nevertheless, and however he speaks. But there's still another way that God speaks. And maybe I don't want to limit it to these that I've mentioned, but at least they're important ones. The first three were natural ways that God speaks, ordinary earthly things, things that you probably already are that we hear every day. But there's the fourth way. It's much rarer, but nevertheless real. And it's through the supernatural way. Supernatural means that it's not the normal way, it's not the natural way, it's something unusual, it's a miracle, it's a vision. Or maybe it's an answered prayer, or maybe even an audible voice, or a revelation of some type of description like that. Or through a dream, or speaking in tongues. I have to think of that. I remember my uncle, one day he had a dream. He had a dream that he had children already and getting up in teens. And he had a dream that his sons were, there's something terribly wrong with his teaching of his sons. He got up and he felt that was from God. And he changed his way of training his children completely after that. He changed his way. And he died then, not too many years after that. But yet, at the same time, through a dream. God speaks through dreams. Sometimes you dream things, you know it's God speaking, or God doing it, you don't know what to do. I had a dream one time, and I don't put any stock to this thing, except I know what happened. And I had a dream one time that I dreamt that there was a terrible thing that happened. A man opened the front door of a house. When he opened the front door, a shotgun went off and shot him in the face. And about 3 or 4 days later, maybe it's a week later or so, the local sheriff did exactly that thing. He opened the front door of a house, and somebody had booby-trapped the house and shot him in the face and killed him. Now, I don't know. I don't put anything to that. I only know that God spoke through the supernatural. What he was speaking, it may be nothing, but nevertheless, that was a voice. And I've heard of others that way. And although, or maybe it's because of the rarity of it, everybody wishes the Lord would speak to them somehow in this way. And he does sometimes, but we need to be very cautious because there is a lot of words and testimonies out there by people who we are not sure about. There are many man-made voices. There's imagination of voices. And I think you all realize that. But there's some people that perpetuate, or how would you say, they encourage that supernatural way of God speaking to them, and then they push it so hard you're not sure if it's really happening. And who are we going to believe in times like this? I'll just give you another example. I have a friend of mine who I knew for a number of years, not living in a close state at all. I heard a sad story about this man that for years, almost a decade, that there was estrangement in their family. In other words, part of the family refused to talk to the other family. And I thought it was pretty terrible, but I didn't know really what was happening here. So not so long ago, I happened to meet with this person. And so I said, hey, I'd like to hear the story of what is happening here. And this is what he told me. He said, quite a few years ago, I got this word from the Lord that this other person related to his family had abused his children. And he said, I put the word out that he told them that this is the case and that we're not going to have any fellowship with you because of that. And then later he said he'll accept fellowship, but it's still the truth that this person abused. So I thought this was a little bit strange to me in a sense. So I said, well, you said the Lord spoke to you. Yep, I was sure the Lord spoke to me. How did he speak to you? Well, he said, he just did. And so now here there was a judgment put on another person on this type of speaking from the Lord. I just wasn't sure. Still am not. In fact, very doubtful, truth is. Then I hear this word of prophecy. This is going to take place. This is going to take place. There are genuine times like that. I want you to know that. Where there's fake, there's genuine. My own father heard an audible voice in his childhood language, which was Pennsylvania Dutch, in a terrible time when he was deep in despair, and he heard this audible voice, and it was quoting a scripture, nothing more, but just a scripture, but it meant a terrible lot to him. And the scripture that was quoted said, Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he heard it in his own language. And so it's not impossible. I mean, it's rare, but it does take place. These are way God's might speak. People would love to have God speak to them all the time like this. But remember, if he would, it would no longer be a miracle or no longer supernatural. It would be natural after that. God did not choose to do that very often. And then there's healings. Sometimes, I know we've prayed for Andrew. We have a hard time to know exactly what would or would not have taken place if he wouldn't have prayed. Sometimes we can identify it. Sometimes we're not sure. I think somebody prayed this morning that, I think it was Brother Larry, that it was the, can't think of the words that he used, that the healing or the damage was limited. In other words, it may be because of the Lord retroactively listening to our prayers. The Lord isn't limited to time. He realized we're praying, so he saw this taking place and he looked ahead and brought it back. We don't know these things. Or he might enhance the skill of the physician. Or he might heal outright. These things do take place. God can heal outright. God chooses some, and it just seems like he's quiet at other times. Doesn't say a word. You can pray and pray, and nothing happens. And you don't know. We don't know why these things are that way. I've heard incredible stories of people speaking in another tongue. I'm not saying in a tongue that isn't known, but it's a known tongue. I've heard people of that. I've heard of stories, and you have too, of an angel in the form of a man helping somebody in dire situations. And I believe those stories. I heard a friend, I only know this person at a distance, but I heard about it. that he was a minister, and he was traveling through an airport. And it was terrible important that he gets to a certain place, but everything was going normal. Then he heard over the loudspeaker. He said, "Jonas, you need to go to this certain gate." It surprised him that it was his name, but he went to the gate. It was a completely different gate. He'd have missed the plane. I forget the details. But when he went to the gate, all of a sudden he got to thinking, how come did they call my name over the loudspeaker? And he got to thinking about the whole thing, and he asked, no, this voice was over the loudspeaker, and evidently it was an angel of the Lord of some sort. So these things do take place. They're far and few between. I want to emphasize again, but God does it. Now, this is God speaking. I haven't gotten to the other side of the conversation yet. How about our side of the conversation? Not everybody gets to be heard by God, our side of the conversation. There are prerequisites to be able to talk to God. If you want your prayers, your praises, as you sit here and sing praises to the Lord, if you want them to reach the ears of God, and I do very badly, or if you want petitions to be heard, if you want to be heard when you ask for healing for Andrew or for others, or for the safety of others, or for the savedness of your brother or sister or friend or whatever, you want your petitions to be heard, or if you want God to accept your worship, there are prerequisites for that. So what do you have to do to get God's ear? Don't forget. First, you have to listen, and then you can do the talking, if this is a conversation. So now I'd like to go through Samuel's chapter here, just do a little bit of taking what happened here to Samuel. It says that the word of God was rare, and there were few visions. In other translations, it says that. The word of God was rare. And I'm saying that I gave you four different ways that God speaks. Evidently, all four of those were rare. There was no written word of God. There was no word from Eli, and Eli couldn't give any. And so... I don't know if they didn't see God in the creation. Maybe God shut that down for them too yet, the little things they could see. But it seems a little bit strange that it was rare in those days, because the wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel in the days of Elijah was worse yet than it was here. There were many miracles in Elijah's days. Remember the fire on Mount Carmel. Remember the oil and the meal and the raising of the child. So we have to conclude that maybe it's the temperature of the priest, the man of God that God was looking at, that made that the word of God was rare. Let's not forget that when it talks about priests, if we bring that to the New Testament, the Bible calls us kings and priests. Are we compromising like Eli did? You know, I feel that the United States, the word of God seems to be plentiful but rare, in the sense of rare new visions, of things that you can explain, that of God really speaking in its way. In the closed countries, I get these Voice of the Martyrs and Open Doors, a lot of these ministries, and it just seems, and the other one was Gospel for Asia, of the healings and of the things that took place, it's just amazing. If they're all true, I believe most of them are, that the Lord speaks in those places. But what about here? Maybe it's because of this. And Samuel, here's what the judgment or the problem that God had with Eli. He didn't restrain his sons. He honored them above me, it says, the Bible says. He honored his sons above him. It says that God wanted, in verse 35, it says, I will raise up a faithful priest. That's what God wanted, a faithful priest that shall do according to that which I have in my heart and my mind. So if you want God to listen to you, or you need to check into this. Do we look at what God's heart and long to do what God wants to do? You know, there are things that God says, and you can do them, begrudgingly and bitterly, maybe there's another word for that, but we do it because we have to. But he says, according to that which is in my heart and my mind, accepting God and going beyond what he wants us to do. His ways aren't burdensome, or they are to some people. They shouldn't be. Honors thy sons above me. You know, God won't take second place. You know what the Bible says? Well, I should say it this way, that sometimes I'm shocked with the compromises that people make because of their children or their whoever. They had standards that they knew in the scripture that were standards that should be followed. I'm not talking about church standards. I'm talking about things that the Lord mandated for us to do. They're willing to compromise them because it's their family. God won't take second place. He that loveth father and mother above me is not worthy of me. Then it says also that he restrained not. You know, I'm going to symbolize this. Do you restrain your evil kinsman? That's, the kinsman is your own flesh. Bible talks about that in the Old Testament as a symbol of our carnal nature. Do you restrain your own flesh, your evil kinsman? If these things are true, don't expect that the Word of God or the revelation of God and the peace from Him, like it talks about here, that it will take place. Now, Samuel heard the voice of God three times before. He actually heard it four times, but the third time, he still didn't understand it yet. But in verse 7, it talks about it, about the reason why he didn't understand it. It says, it's very instructive in my opinion, it says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of God revealed unto him. You know, belonging to the temple staff was not enough. Belonging to church is not enough. You must know God. I suppose that when Hannah brought him, and of course he was an infant or a child, so we have to go from that side, but he worked in the temple and she felt like he was doing the work of the Lord, but he didn't know God. Samuel's heart was desirous, and the Lord actually came and spoke to him before he had known God, which is a wonderful thing. God does seek out his people. But the lesson is clear. We can't hear the word of God if we don't know him. We need a person, an aging, backslidden priest like Eli even. Let's not forget that just because the word of God comes doesn't make the person that brings it a godly person. Paul says that either by contention, he doesn't care how the word of God's preached. And there are people finding the Lord that get their information from people that are not saved. So that's not a necessity to hear it from somebody that is. Sometimes people hear that the best. The one drunkard speaking to the other about God could be a good way to hear God's word. There's people that have the gift of prophecy. They have the ability to interpret scripture and to understand it. Other people do not have these gifts. If we recognize this gift, we should listen. I'm not talking about future necessarily, although there are people who put two and two together and say, if the Bible says this, then this will happen in the future, and there's a lot of truth to that. Then it says that Samuel had great power with God afterwards. He had the heart and mind of God. Verse 19, I'm not sure how to take this verse. I looked up in other translations and couldn't determine this 100%. But it says that he didn't let any of the words fall onto the ground. And I'm not sure if it meant if Samuel didn't let his words fall to the ground or God's words to the ground. But let's say it's God's word, the Lord's word. Don't expect a conversation with the Lord if the words are not obeyed again and again, over and over again. We were talking about listening to God and the prerequisites to hearing and understanding God. But now, let's talk to God. You know, prayer is how we talk to God. It's a very, very powerful, very effective. You know, I have to talk when I get on my knees, I tell the Lord, I quote the verse and I say, Lord, don't forget. I don't have to worry about it. God's not forgetting, but then I'm telling myself this. That you said in James that Elijah was a man of like passion as we are, and he made it not rain for 3 years because he felt a famine was best to take care of the situation at hand. He prayed on Mount Carmel. And the Bible says too, in James, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm not sure. I don't want to consider myself to be a righteous man. If I'm righteous, I'm only righteous because God made me so in his eyes, imputed righteousness. But we can be consoled or comforted in the thought that it is effective. The hotline went around, and we prayed for Andrew. Availeth much. Availeth much. There's no doubt about that. We don't know exactly what's going on in some of those times, but it's still nevertheless. We can praise and we can thank and we can worship God in our talking to him. The last part of this conversation of God talking, God listening, we listening, God, or now us speaking. We can praise him. Last Sunday night, we praised him in song, and I loved it. As I, you know, people can speak to God in the way of a song, and the Bible says that spiritual songs have a way of bringing out the spirit within you and of so forth, and it's really true. Songs do that. Thanks and worship should be part of him. Talk to him as a friend. Tell him about your fears and your struggles that go in your life. God is listening. At least if these prerequisites are met, you might never get the fourth way of God speaking to you, saying supernatural things, but it's true. Bible says so. I believe it 100%. We got it from the Word of God. The second point or the first point I brought out. I find this out. I want to know if it's this way for you or not. But I find it hard sometimes to talk to the Lord because of the pain that I have. That I'm going through. It's so painful, I just like to go into a little place by myself, and I'd like to not have anybody say anything. And I'm tempted not to say anything, but that's the very time that you might, and I've decided, I'm going to get on my knees, I'm just going to tell the Lord, you know, it's really painful right now, but that's the way it is. And not go into much more besides that. Because Lord needs to know this. It's good for us. In Ephesians 6:18, it talks about how that we should constantly be praying, talking to God. So it's not only something you love to do, but something you want to do. It says praying always, with all prayer, with all kinds of prayer, whatever that is, praise, petition, supplications, it says here and everything. In the spirit, with all perseverance and all this, don't give up. Keep right at it. Don't give up. Just go on. Do it again and again. And sometimes when I pray, I think, you know what? The Lord isn't doing anything about it. And then this verse came about. I was praying about something. The Lord wasn't answering it. Nothing was happening and still hasn't. But I just happened to be one of those times I opened my Bible, my one-year Bible, and I was reading. I'm not sure. I better take that back. Whatever I was reading, I generally read my one-year Bible, but I was reading. I came to the story of the widow, and I was thinking, Lord, that's you speaking right this moment. It says she went to the judge, and the judge said, I don't really feel like getting up and doing anything about this situation. And then he got sick and tired of her always out there waiting, and so he decided to do this. And then the Lord said, now don't forget that those that faint not are the ones that eventually get their prayer request done. And so I decided, well, Lord, I'm going to do that. I remind the Lord, again, he doesn't need that, but I tell him again and again, I say, I'm here waiting and waiting. I'm not going away yet. I'm right here. pray always, it says, with all prayer and supplication. Sometimes the posture is important. You know, the Lord looks at the outside too. Pray on your knees. Don't just always pray another way, but on your knees. You know, I'm not sure what the angels can't read your mind. And your ministering spirit, your individual angel, if there is such a thing, and it appears there is, they see you kneeling there. They know what you're doing. If you're driving down the road and praying, yes, you're praying to God. Do they know this? Anyway, just a thought. Public prayer. We have the hotline. But public prayers, although often maybe they're not of the passion or of the style that or the way that God sometimes, of course, be interested in as much, but it says that we should go in our closet and close the door, and the Lord there will listen to us. Pray with your children. I hope you do that. And pray with your wife. I heard some of your brethren that are making a special effort to do that. We have tried to, my wife and I don't always, but generally have for years and years prayed together. And I still remember my mother and my father. They went in the bedroom before they went to bed. And our house was little, so you could hear everything going on. And I'd hear the tone inside, whatever the word is, the murmurings going on. I knew they were praying. I knew what they were praying. Sometimes the door was partially open. I'd hear what they'd say. And they'd say for their children, they'd pray every evening, every night before they went to bed. Sometimes, I've said this before, don't go and ask for stuff. Just praise the Lord and thank Him and praise Him and don't ask for any favors. Sometimes just sing prayers. And there are promise prayers, prayers that you're promised to get, forgiveness prayers, forgiveness for your sins. The Lord promised that. He promised help. Now that when it says help, it's not a guarantee that it's a miracle, but help in getting over a situation. And there's promise of wisdom. Then there's prayers that are not promised, but nevertheless, you're enjoined to do it, to pray. For the lost, for the saints, and just by examples in the scripture, we can deduct that there are times that the Lord, there's many prayers answered of healing. So we can deduct that evidently we should pray for that too. It says so in James, but it doesn't necessarily that they're promised for. Protection. There's one example that will not work, and that is anything requested to bolster our ego or to increase our power over people or for lust. Those are things that do not work. I'm going to close with just the thought of a conversation with your God. A wonderful conversation. He speaks, you speak, you listen, maybe most of the time, and then God does listen. It says He heareth. The words are heareth. I'm going to close with that. Does someone have a testimony or something that you'd like to give at this time?